Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Continuing this morning with Canto 3, Chapter 3, Texts 21 and 22. Buddha was continuing to speak. The subject matter is Krishna in Dwaraka. And what Uddhava is appreciating is how Krishna relates with his energies. And the contrast is being indicated, his external energy and his internal energy. Detachment, remember from yesterday, detachment from, like a philosopher of Samkhya, detachment from Maya or matter, and at the same time attachment to his spiritual energy. Now, if a living entity became very devoted to Radha and Krishna, that would be very nice. But what does it look like when Krishna is dedicated to Radha? Or the 16,000 queens? It might be difficult for a person with a material conception to understand, right? So, Uddhava is elevating. Going back, Uddhava was on the one hand appreciating Krishna's transcendental activity, on the other hand he was expressing pain, he repeated that phrase in different words, of pain, grief, because ordinary people don't see the transcendental nature of Krishna because it looks ordinary. Or examples were, he who is not born is born. So people that don't understand Krishna think, well, he's one of us. He was born. Although, you know, the way that Krishna was born was not at all ordinary, but Krishna was born. Or Krishna was afraid of Kamsa. He who was feared by fear personified was afraid of Kamsa. So he said, I'm going to change my form and assume a little childlike form, and please take me on the other side of Jamuna and hide me from wicked Kamsa. And then again, Krishna came back 12.5 years later with folded palms before Vasudeva and Devaki. We're so apologetic for not being able to serve you for all these years because we were afraid of Kamsa. He who has no source or origin is treating Vasudeva Devaki as his mother and father and apologizing because he was afraid of Kamsa. In one sense, Uddhava is glorifying Krishna. Just see how intimate are his dealings. But he was saying, this gives me great pain because ordinary people don't understand it. They think of him as ordinary. This gives him great pain. He's a connoisseur of these things, these apparent contradictions, and he's unraveling the apparent contradictions. And that's what we're going to be discussing this morning. The detachment of a perfected soul from Maya, from sense enjoyment, but that perfected soul doesn't simultaneously have 16,000 wives and enjoy with them. Krishna does, and Krishna is not a living entity, and he's not a perfected or a highly elevated living entity. He's God. And these personalities are his own energies with whom he is associating. We discussed this yesterday. It's not like that for us. It's something, there's us and something outside of us. And for Krishna, there's not Krishna, there's something outside of Krishna. These are his own Shaktis. So we're going to hear some more about that. It's like a very wonderful science of Krishna. Text 21. The Lord enjoyed his pastimes both in this world and in other worlds, the higher planets, specifically in the association of the Yadu dynasty. What's an example of Krishna performing pastimes with his associates in the heavenly region? Can you think of an example? During the manifest pastimes of Krishna appearing in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, then Mathura, then Dwarka.
Lord fighting to get Parjana.
Yeah. Can you expand on that a little bit? Would you like me to? The demons invaded the heavenly realm. And not only they defeated the demigods, but they stole Aditi's earrings. Like insult. They stole Vamana's umbrella. Wow. Big offense. And they stole the whole mountain from the heavenly region. So Indra went to Krishna. Help! They stole Diti's earrings. Please help. So Krishna agreed. And when Ditu returned them, when he fought the Mura demon and then Narakasura, the mother of Narakasura was who? Mother Earth. Bhumi, or Pitri. She returned the earrings that Narakasura had stolen. So Krishna returned the earrings and the umbrella of Vamana. And when he went to the heavenly region, who was with him? Satyabhama. Do you know this story? Satyabhama had seen that Krishna had previously been to the heavenly region and brought a Parijata flower back for Rukmini. So Satyabhama didn't just want a Parijata flower. She said, can you get a tree like that? Bring it back, planted by our palace, a Parijata tree. So Krishna requested Indra, may I have one Parijata tree, please? The answer was, no. You brought back Aditi's earrings, that's all right. You brought back Vamana's umbrella, that's all right. You brought back the whole mountain, that's all right. You can't have a Parijata tree. That's only for the heavenly realm. And the queens of Indra were by his side, said, don't give it to him. This we want to have an exclusive. Only here in heaven, Parijata trees. So Krishna just took a tree. He just took it. And as he was flying away with Garuda, Indra attacked him with a thunderbolt. Krishna smashed him. Indra, and this is after the Govardhan Lila, Indra, torrents of rain for 7 days and seven nights. Oh, I made a big mistake. You're the personality of Godhead. So many nice prayers. Fast forward in time, no, you can't have a Parijata tree. After asking Krishna, I mean, you know, come on. So, Krishna performed wonderful pastimes with the residents of Dwarka, the Yadu dynasty members, in this case Satya Bhama, in the heavenly region. At leisure hours offered by night, he enjoyed the friendship of conjugal love with women. So he knows very well what he's saying. This looks like, you know what? Looks like lusty affairs of a mundane person. He knows very well that it's not, and in the purport makes it very clear it's not. The Lord enjoyed in this world with his pure devotees. Although he is the personality of Godhead and is transcendental to all material attachment described earlier, perfect follower of the Sankhya philosophy, with knowledge and detachment abundant, he nevertheless exhibited much attachment for his pure devotees on earth, as well as for the demigods who engage in his service in the heavenly planets as powerful delegated directors in the management of all material affairs. He displayed special attachment for his family members, the Yadus, as well as for his 16,000 wives who had the opportunity to meet him in the leisure hour of night. All these attachments of the Lord are manifestations of his internal potency, of which the external potency is only a shadow representation. Now this isn't 10th canto, this is 3rd canto, but it's preparing us for the 10th canto. It's preparing us to understand other activities of the Lord with his devotees in other forms also, where he's just sporting with his own energies. And we should make a distinction. Our subject matter to understand is Krishna, that Krishna means Krishna and his potencies. So we are to, like Krishna, become absorbed in the internal potency and detached from the external potency. As we discussed yesterday, it's just the opposite at present. We're very attached to the external energy, completely out of touch with the internal energy. You have to change the channel. The part of that is to understand what's the difference between the two. And who is that person who we're worshipping, and how does he regard these two potencies? In the Skanda Purana Prabhas Kanda, in the topics between Lord Shiva and Gauri, there is confirmation of his internal potential manifestations. There is mention of the Lord's meeting with 16,000 cowherd damsels. This is now not his wives, but the cowherd damsels. Although he is Hamsa, transcendental, swan-like person, the super soul, Paramatma, Janardana, as the maintainer of all living entities. So, what's just been said. Different language previously being repeated now in some new language. Previously we heard that Krishna's form is all spiritual. Sarup Shakti is his own spiritual form, is fully transcendental. And the goddess of fortune is the energy of that spiritual form. And so he's associating with and enjoying with that spiritual potency. although he's the maintainer of all living entities, all living entities. Here's a detail that's important to consider. The 16,000 queens were not Jiva Shakti. They're Svarup Shakti. What's the difference? Living entity is marginal potency. Marginal potency. Tattvastha Shakti. So, there's internal potency, Antaranga Shakti. There's external potency, Bahiranga Shakti. There's living entity, Tattvastha Shakti, marginal between the internal and external. There's this Maya Shakti is his external energy. And the Antaranga Shakti, his internal potency, is the Swarup Shakti. The living entity, and so the those with whom Krishna was associating his queens, they're Swarup Shakti, or Shakti Tattva, we could say. Just like Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj. They're not living entities, not jivas. They're Shakti Tattva. It's Krishna's own potency. In the form of his mother, in the form of his father, in the form of his wives, in the form of the coward damsels. Shakti Tattva, a different potency. Some of them, amongst the gopis who were engaged in rasa dance, they were living entities who had become perfected. Still, they're Tattvastha Shakti, but now engaged along with his internal potency in his rasa dance. So here, I have the Sanskrit of this Skanda Purana quote. This is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Where he's commenting on the verse and he's explaining, this verse explains that though the Lord is not attracted to the actions of Maya Shakti, he is attached to the actions of the Chit Shakti. Then he refers to the previous verse. By sweetness of four elements, glances, words, actions, and form of the Lord, he gave pleasure to the devotees on earth and on Svarga and especially with the Yadus. But among the Yadus, he especially enjoyed with the women. This shows greater and greater attachment, showing affection through a festival of conjugal attractions for these women is a suitable, at suitable opportunities, datta kshana, during the night, shandadaya, he enjoyed. This is because these queens are actually composed of his chit shakti, arising from his svarup. Well, it's repeating things that I've been saying, or I'm repeating things that it's saying. This can be understood from the conversation between Lord Shiva and Parvati in the Skanda Purana, Prabhas Kanda, in which the 16,000 queens are described with 10 sons each. It starts, Hamsa Eva, although he is Hamsa, Matav Krishnaha, Paramatma Janardana. Well, Krishna is known as Hamsa, Paramatma, Janardana. O Parvati, his 16,000 Shaktis are well known. He is like the moon, and Shaktis are like the phases of the moon. Nice metaphor. Sometimes the moon shows more, and sometimes the moon shows less of its fullness. The rays and the moon. There's the moon and there's the rays of the moon. There's the sun and there's the rays of the sun. So, but the sun is always shining in fullness, and the moon is sometimes full, sometimes less than full. So Krishna would engage in pastimes with some of his own chit shakti in the form of the gopis, or in the form of queens. Sometimes more of them, sometimes fewer of them. Very nice metaphor. This is Lord Shiva speaking to Parvati on his understanding of how Krishna engaged in activities with the gopis or with the queens. The next verse, enjoying in this way with his queens, he showed complete detachment from the activities of a householder, though following the rules of Karma Yoga continuously for many years. Sanjayata Viraga, complete indifference to the path of karma, typified by Rajoguna in performing household activities. So normally householders, even religious householders, or to speak of irreligious ones, there's a I want to enjoy principle that's active. And so religiously, I follow the duties so that I can enjoy it. It's performance of religious duties with attachment to the fruits of those religious activities, commonly. Krishna set an example following all the rituals and routines and so forth, but with complete detachment, viraga. And the items of enjoyment that householders, religious or irreligious, like, Krishna had them abundantly. He was in Dwarka. He was completely detached. This is one of his six opulences. He has all wealth, but he has all renunciation. That seems like a contradiction too, because wealthy people generally like their wealth. But if a worldly person can be abundantly wealthy and detached, what to speak of Krishna? This is because, or one of the ways of analyzing it is, that there is no influence of the modes of nature upon Krishna. Guneshu asango vairagyam. Detachment means no association with the gunas. This is Krishna speaking to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, 11th canto. Detachment means no association with the gunas. Krishna's not influenced by the gunas. There's complete detachment from the modes of nature. So he has detachment from Maya Shakti, from the allurement of trying to enjoy as a living entity. So that's the perfected living entity. Krishna also. At the same time, seemingly in contradiction to that, Krishna was enjoying very much with his queens. He writes, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti, there is no question of such detachment in his pastimes with Rukmini and others who are shuddha sattva beyond the material gunas. But what did Krishna do with Rukmini? It seemed like detachment. Or at least when Krishna was saying, oh Rukmini, I'm not qualified to be your husband. Rukmini thought Krishna was going to dump her. You know, I'm just from a cowherd village, and you're this very elevated princess, the daughter of King Bhishmaka, and you know, I do bad things. I steal butter, and I run from the battlefield. And, you know, you should have a qualified husband. Not me. I'm not fit to be your husband. And as he was speaking, she thought, oh, Krishna's going to leave me. And just that the thought, as she was thinking like that, she fell to the ground like a cut banana tree. Boom. Oh, Krishna was apparently exhibiting detachment. But it was he wanted to have Rukmini display her super excellent quality of love for him, which he did. So this is a nice understanding. Krishna's indifference, vairagya, to states of matter. You know, we don't have that. A transcendentalist can have that, but we are, you know, depending upon how people treat us, whether they speak nicely or speak harshly, or, you know, whether things are going well in the office or not going well in the office, depending upon whether our children behave nicely or don't behave nicely, we can be happy or unhappy, you know, and so on. Our job is going well, oh, I just lost my job, somebody just wrote me, I just lost their job. You know, all the things of life, so many things. So, Krishna is detached from those displays of duality. At the same time, while it looks like he's attached to his queens, or he's attached to his dear friend Arjuna, it looks like, you know, it looks like us. When Bhishma knew that Krishna would protect Arjuna, even to the point of breaking his own vow, even to the point of smashing Bhishma to protect Arjuna. Doesn't look like indifference, does it? He has this, because of the love of his devotee, he reciprocates. It's not mechanical, it's very personal. He reciprocates with the love of his devotee. And that devotee is then protected by that love of Krishna and by his love for Krishna. It's a nice transcendental subject matter. And we're going to hear some more of it tomorrow. Any comments or questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. For the both, the delegate.